Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. We're live in Seattle, Washington on this August 20th, 2018. And if I cough throughout the broadcast, please excuse me. But we are suffering with heavy smoke here in Seattle, and I have been coughing for at least the last week. So I will try not to during the broadcast. So today we are continuing the conversation on practical intuition in real life with our animal families. Because I had some email questions from last week, and because that's a subject that's near and dear to my heart, and I know to the hearts of many listeners, and because we always have something to talk about on this show. So there's that. But my show is always about helping all of us tap our natural, our innate, intuitive, and healing abilities and put them to good use in our families and in our work lives and in the world, because we're all here growing our souls and trying to do the best that we can every single day. So if you have a question for an animal today, or you'd like to comment on what we're talking about, please call in at 202-570-7057. And as always, you are welcome to email me questions or comments at my website, robinfritz.com. That's robynfritz.com. Or connect with me on Facebook at The Practical Intuitive, Robin M. Fritz. Whatever works for you, especially if you're shy and don't want to come on the radio live yourself. But you are welcome to call in at any time and we'll see what's up. So today I want to continue that conversation about life with our animal families. And in particular today, I'd like to dedicate my show to my dear friend Anne, who lost her beloved dog Dakota last week, suddenly and unexpectedly. Poor Dakota was, big guy and maybe 12 years old, and has just suddenly failed, as happens with our animal families. And as we were chatting about it, we were reminiscing about how they found each other and the long, happy life they had together. And it was funny because 11 years ago, more than that, a little bit around that time, she had just lost her beloved dog, Rusty. And she was looking for a dog, and she was telling her, wow, I see a big dog in your future. Like, this next one is going to be black, and he's going to be huge, and he's going to weigh at least 95 pounds. She's like, no way, I don't want them that big, because her dog Rusty was 50. So what does she bring home from the shelter but a youngish dog, black, and Dakota ended up at 95 to 100 pounds. So you find your heart match however you find your heart match. And I have been living with animals constantly for the last 20 years. There was a 12-year interruption there between animals in my life. But I live with animals as family members. And in those last 20 years, I had to really step up and learn about animal care, things that I didn't have to learn about with my previous animals. Just because some of the animals that I brought into my life had some health issues, we weren't getting them resolved. Some of them looked like my issues as well. And so I really started on a course of healing for all of us, for all our family members. And, you know, that's what really families are all about, right? We grow and we learn together. We heal. We go through what we go through. And with luck, that helps us grow our souls in positive ways. It's much easier to grow your soul when everything is working well. But I don't know very many people that have had things work well their entire lives. Things come up, illnesses, disabilities, accidents, whatever. And it's no good hiding your head and pretending that it's somehow going to make things worse if we talk about them or we work on those issues, because that's how we grow. That's how we learn to take care of ourselves and our animals. So 20 years ago, I bring in my animal family members, and like a lot of us still, I believed a lot of what I was told. I didn't really start investigating what I was told until I was frustrated with the health issues I saw in my animals. And that's why last week I was talking really in depth about, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing out there with our animal families? And what does that mean to us? And what does it mean for them? And how do we best serve the lives that we bring into our families? In those of us who are bringing animals, who are raising human children as well as animal children, one or the other, it doesn't matter. As the adults and the so-called parental figures, we have a responsibility to do the best we can for their welfare. And their physical welfare too, but mind, body, and spirit. How do we support them, mind, body, and spirit? How do we live practical lives in tune with our intuition and our animal families? And I was talking about looking at animals as equals in our families, as not as gurus and teachers, but as beings who have chosen those bodies to grow their souls in, and then in choosing an animal companion bodies, many of them end up in families with humans. And one of the things they want to experience is that family life with us. And that's a sacred trust. And we really try to honor it the best we can. But we need to be really careful about the information that we hang on to and that we believe in. And one of those that I'm thinking about right now again is the issue I brought up last week. And I said, and people asked me to expand on this because they were like, what are you talking about? And I'm talking about shutting down every shelter and rescue facility in the United States. Why? Because, well, first of all, it won't last very long because I know they rely on money to keep themselves in business. And I know they do a lot of good in the world. That's all great. But the mandatory spay-neuter issue is outdated science, and it's contributing to debilitated animals. Animals in our families, animals out in public, to the tune that 50% of our dogs over 10 are getting cancer. And why is that happening? Well, and here's where we have to start bringing our intuition and our mind, body, and spirit together. So when my Cavalier King Charles Spaniel was 6 months old and they said, neuter her or spay her, neuter her, same thing. Spay her because, you know, she's going to be healthy. The other thing they added was to prevent overpopulation of animals. And I'm like, really, are we all that stupid? What about her hormones, you know? But I believed what I was told because I wasn't smart enough then to do my research, which is what I'm encouraging everyone to do these days. Because what has happened in the last 20 years is that I had to learn a lot about caring for my animals because they had some issues. And I started to realize that not everybody knows everything, including me. But including our veterinarians, including our human doctors, and we need to be educated. We need to learn about how to keep ourselves and our animal families healthy, and we need to learn the circumstances around that. And what I discovered is that we create things in our heads, mindsets, and influences on our mindset that may have been good intentions, but lead to bad outcomes. And those are the things we need to walk away from. And one of those bad outcomes is the health and well-being of our animal family members, relating directly to spaying and neutering them at a young age, before their hormones are in, before their bones have developed well. And this is why we're seeing increases in cancers, increases in aggression, increases in all kinds of diseases and events that happen to them that don't need to happen in that natural order. And yet society around us is telling us that the most responsible thing we can do is take these babies and neuter them. And why are they saying that? They're saying that, and I've talked with friends who are involved with the rescue movement. I've looked at various people, looked at various situations, and it's because they don't think we're smart enough and capable enough of managing our animals' health care on our own. The most important, fundamental, basic thing that you can do for your animals is to protect their hormonal development. Does that mean we're going to run out and let all our animals mate with each other and have babies? No. And in fact, that was never the case. And if spaying and neutering early was going to resolve the so-called animal overpopulation problem in this country, that would have happened 40 years ago. But it is not happening. So who's showing up in the shelters? Who's showing up in these various places? Old dogs. Dogs that have health issues, dogs that have been adopted as puppies and not properly trained. So your Labrador, your Golden Retriever gets to be 3 years old, as big as unmanageable, because they're healthy, energetic dogs and they haven't been properly trained. And so you turn them into the shelter. Or family situations change, and that's tragic, and you have to rehome them. Thank God there are people out there that are willing to take in animals that need new homes. But the truth of it is that every dog and cat out there, unless it's chosen to be feral, which we have a large feral cat population in this country, every animal needs a home. So why don't we put aside our discrimination against how we get those animals and what we call them, and look for our heart matches? And that's what I urge people to do. And when I say shut the shelter system down, I'm saying shut down the system that requires your animal to be spayed and neutered before it comes into your family, because they know better than you do, and they do not. Because the science is out there, and it is proven that early spay and neuter is detrimental to the welfare of your animal family member. So why would you agree to that? And the thing of it is, people are so caught up in the overpopulation issue that they're overlooking the actual statistics and the actual research. Yes, the actual science of what is good for our animal family members. And that's where you, as the adult in the family, steps up and makes a choice. So I was talking about this with my friend today, and I've talked about this with other people. And other people will tell me, there's a person here in our neighborhood, well, this dog is a rescue dog, you know. And I'm like, okay, lady, but your dog is also vicious. It's trying to attack my dog every single time we run into you. So do you think maybe you could try to get this dog trained? Because think how miserable it is. Hello? They don't naturally go at other animals and try to kill them unless there's something really wrong there. So find out what's wrong with it. Get some training. There are really competent people out there who can help you train this dog to help it be a good family member. And if it cannot be trained that way, then it needs to go to somebody who can handle it, or something else, really, because you have to be able to manage your animal family. And I freely admit, I'm going to buy my animals and they're going to be purebreds, and I'm going to buy them as babies because I want to control the process. And I want to be able to offer them the healthiest life possible. And that doesn't just go to the spay-neuter issue. But I promise you, if you said no to the shelter system in this country, I'm not going to adopt your dogs unless I'm in charge of what happens and when they're spayed and neutered, then in less than a year, that whole population, that whole political issue will go away. Why? Because they really are becoming the new puppy millers, number one, which is sad. But number two is a lot of these people genuinely want to help animals. They think they're doing the right thing, and they haven't looked at the research that's been out there for years. And they honestly are stuck in the patriarchal mode where father knows best, and we're the father, and we're telling you that this has to be done. But it's not in the animal's welfare, and therefore it's not in the welfare of your animal family member. And that isn't just the only issue. I also dealt with the issue of vaccinations and letting my first Cavalier be over vaccinated because, again, I was listening to what a prejudiced veterinarian had to say instead of what my common sense said. So here's how you evaluate things. What are the facts of the situation? What do you know about vaccination? What do you know about spay neuter? What do you know about food? Dig deep. The information is out there on the internet. It's out there in other places. Don't say, well, just because I go to Best Friends or the Humane Society and they say, we got to do this to prevent overpopulation. The only country in the world that that's a problem is here in Canada. Two countries, that's it. And why Canada? Because they're imitating us. And why us? Because those aren't the dogs. You're not seeing young dogs in the shelter like that unless they haven't been properly raised in their families. You are seeing people breeding at home and bringing their animals that they can't sell back. So more on the food issue back after the break.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for. That new understanding that will enhance your life and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee, and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about practical intuition in real life with our animal families. So standing up for your animal families, bucking the trends, doing the research, that requires a number of things. One, it requires sitting down and really spending some long hours doing the research on what are the best things to do for your animal families. From the spay-neuter issue, to food, to vaccinations, to how much exercise they get, to the very basic first question of all is, what kind of animal do you live with? Can you meet its needs? You know, can you give it the best home possible based on your circumstances? I personally am handicapped. I can't walk or stand for very long because of that. So when I was going about getting a dog in my life 20 years ago, the circumstances had changed for me. I was looking for a dog breed that was comfortable with being with a handicapped person and wouldn't need to run for 25 miles a day like a Dalmatian needs. So I was really researching what breed would work for me, and I came up with Cavaliers. And the Cavalier King Charles Spaniels is perfect for people who are handicapped, perfect for older people, perfect for people with young families. And it works for me, but I had to do the research to find what worked for me. And because I love the history and I love what they look like, this is where I've stayed with my animal family members. But we have to keep looking at the changes in what we learn over time. I mean, that's what science is supposed to do, right? And that's what our intuition and logic is supposed to do. It's supposed to keep asking questions so that we can keep providing the best that we can to our families, whether they're human or animals. So when you're bringing an animal into family, when you're evaluating what to do for that animal, there are the facts. What are the facts? The facts are spaying and neutering young is detrimental to their health. They've known that for years. Two, what are your beliefs about that? You know, and what does common sense tell you about that? And I've had people say, well, I must rescue because, of course, that makes me super cool. And there are all these unwanted animals out there. Well, some of them are unwanted for a reason, and you have to keep that in mind when you're looking to adopt. But the other thing is every animal needs a home, right? So, you know, give yourself a break and figure out what works for your particular circumstances. Very few people are going to be able to live with a Dalmatian. Not that they aren't great dogs, they're beautiful, but I've talked to a Dalmatian breeder and she's like, I very carefully screen my buyers because these dogs need a lot of exercise. Not going to work in my household. My dog gets good exercise, but not Dalmatian wise. So what are the facts? What are your beliefs and what is common sense? And are your beliefs really backed up by science? On top of that, what are your feelings about the situation? Do you feel that by rescuing, so-called rescuing a dog, you're like creating something wonderful? Then by all means do that. But are you actually creating a heart match for yourself? Are you actually meeting the animal who's there for you and you're there for it? And are you keeping yourself from getting that animal because it's not in a shelter? So think about that. And last to all of that, add your intuition. What does your intuition tell you? My intuition was telling me that it was ridiculous to spay a 6-month-old dog. And I was right, but I was listening to, you know, what the so-called facts were, and there weren't facts. There were just prejudices based on people's real and honest desire to not see so many homeless animals, not realizing what the real problems are behind that. And that's not people indiscriminately letting their animals have litters, as it is poverty and lack of training. And another issue is the huge expense of veterinary bills when they get older. So I know a lot of animals that are turned into shelters because they need a surgery or they need their teeth pulled or cleaned, and the family just doesn't have the money. That's tragic. And I've had that conversation with a really interesting veterinarian in the Seattle area who's offering a whole new model of animal care based on the very fact that it's too expensive for most people. It's tragic when people tell you they want to have a dog or a cat, but they're afraid because they don't have the money to pay for the expensive care. And I know, because I have paid a lot of money over the years for veterinary care. So some other issues for you to think about. And here's another issue where your intuition comes in. Vaccinations. How many vaccinations do you give them and what do they need and what's in those vaccinations? Well, when I started doing the research, I discovered that, you know, a lot of veterinarians are pushing the leptospirosis vaccination. For what reason, people? Because the thing that's in the leptospirosis vaccination does in no way equate to the actual leptospirosis that's out there that your animal could run into. So what's the point, right? Kennel cough vaccination. Is your dog going to get kennel cough? Maybe. For the most part, it's pretty mild. But vaccinating them against kennel cough, in my experience, actually gives them kennel cough. So why would you want to do that? And there's so many varieties of kennel cough out there that vaccinating doesn't really do it for them. So what do you vaccinate against? So there's lots of issues and lots of research done on that vaccination and issue. And for that, I refer you to Jean Dodds' website, J-E-A-N Dodds, D-O-D-D-S. And she's done a lot of research on vaccination. She actually worked with Mike Cavalier in her odd blood disorder years and years ago. On the first one of the first instances where I was actually listening to my intuition, even though I didn't know what it was at the time, when my dog was unwell and they did a blood test and they called me up on Christmas Eve and said, "We think your dog has cancer, because what else would it be to have this low platelet count?" And I'm like, "What? What? She's a year old. What? And they're going like, "Yeah, and we want to do this treatment." And I'm like, "No. No." And they said, "But we need to save her life." And I said, "No." I mean, the no was so huge and so big in front of me that I just responded to it like I hit a wall. And I said, "No, we are not going to treat this." And as it turned out, that saved her life. Why? Because she did not have cancer. She had a blood disorder that's peculiar to Cavaliers and is asymptomatic, meaning there are no symptoms, but she had a low platelet count. Now, if they had treated her as they have treated other Cavaliers in those early years and other dogs with this issue, the treatment would have killed her. So start listening to your intuition. Start figuring out how your intuition works and let it speak up for you and your animal family members when you're researching an issue that applies to their welfare, right? Because you want them to be as healthy as possible, because they have jobs to do too. You know, they have jobs to do that, like if they're animals like my animal family members, are pretty important big jobs in the world, and they've signed up to do an awful lot. And my job is to make sure they're healthy so that they can do that job, and to give them an environment where I respect them and nurture them and give them a hand up if they need it to whatever they need to do, but to try not to hold them back in any way from whatever it is that they've chosen to do, because that's how they're growing their souls in those bodies. And they're pretty amazing souls and bodies. And that's what we want, right? Healthy, productive families that are growing their souls within the family and doing what they came here to do, supported by us, just as they're supporting us, because that's what families do, right? Reach out and help each other up when we can. So, wow. The food issue, that's really amazing. So if you followed anything in the dog world lately, you've heard about dilated cardiomyopathy and its suspected connection to grain feed diets. And you're like, "What?" That's what I said when I first heard that. Like, "What are you talking about?" So dilated cardiomyopathy is a heart condition that shows up in certain breeds of dogs more than others. And it was showing up in dogs that weren't necessarily susceptible to it. So they're wondering, like, what the heck is that all about? So, and what are grain-free diets? Now, this is where human food and animal food and what our animals are really like in their bodies comes into play. So you really have to do some research here. And I'm not saying that my answer is completely right, but I have extremely healthy animals. Part of it is the spay-neuter issue, which I was firm on. And part of it is, wow, you know, just how do I give them the best food possible? And you go out there and you're seeing all these foods and it's grain-free this and grain-free that. And where the heck did that come from? I'm not exactly sure. I think part of it has to do with the human terror, if you will, of gluten, to where everybody says that they have problems with gluten, and I'm not sure if we do or not, but obviously there are some things that are bothering people. I have really close friends who have celiac disease, which is a real problem with gluten. But how did it get translated into what's healthy for our dogs, and specifically dogs here? And why are those usually your only options? And when you dig deeper, this issue of dilated cardiomyopathy and grain-free dog food comes down to a study of, I think, 12 dogs. And I'm like, 12 dogs is not a statistically relevant number. It is not a useful number for us to be dealing with. And there needs to be more research if a grain-free diet is really affecting our dogs. But when you dig deeper into that, what are we actually talking about when we're feeding our dogs and our cats? Well, you know, I've always looked at them, and I've looked at cats, and I see cats, you know, friends that let their cats run loose and they come home with mice. And the truth of it is, cats are still full-blown carnivores out there, and they're still, given a choice, they would still hunt and, you know, eat what they catch. And well, dogs will do the same thing. They are also scavengers, and the prey of both species are animals that eat grain. And so they're getting grain in their diets, right, by eating the animals that have eaten the grain. Plus, I watched a coyote here on the back hillside in my protected area behind my condo here in West Seattle. For 2 years, I watched this coyote hunt. I watched it eat the wildlife that it caught. But I also saw it digging up and eating grass and roots and, you know, not because it was starving, because they're well fed down here, because their diet is quite diverse. So people are talking about feeding dogs, okay, and feeding their ancestral diet. So what is an ancestral diet for a modern dog? It is not what a wolf eats, because over the last 10,000 plus years that dogs have lived from us, they have biologically changed from being wolves. Their diets have changed over that time. Why? Because they've been eating with us. So if you're going to feed a modern day dog what you feed a wolf, are you actually feeding them what they need biologically in the bodies that they have now that have evolved over centuries differently from wolves? It's see how complex the issue gets? So if you're out there looking at your animal's food and you're like me, you go to an independent pet store and you have really interesting conversations with the people who are trained on the different foods that they sell and have the experience of listening to clients with different needs. And then you'll talk to a veterinarian, some of whom know about foods and some who don't, just like human doctors don't always know about foods. They know about machines that will help us, thank goodness, diagnose and treat issues that we haven't been able to treat over 30 or 40 years. But when you look at that, you look at what suits dogs will suit people, and that's a diverse diet, you know. So then you work with what works for that dog. I had switched my dog Ollie over to an all raw diet, thinking, well, that's really going to help him, right? That should be really cool. And he lost 15% of his body weight. I mean, it was obviously not good for him. And part of it was that maybe he needed way more food than I could actually afford to buy in that sense. But for whatever reason, he wasn't thriving on that. So what is he thriving on now? A whole combination of things. What I used to cook for my first Cavalier, you know, a veterinarian developed diet, that I had diverse vegetables and fruit and sometimes potatoes and sometimes grains and meat, of course. And now looking at adding some various raw back into that and a whole variety of things. You know, basically what I eat, he eats. because that's what dogs have been doing for 10,000 plus years, is eating what we've been eating. And yeah, sure, we could improve our own diets, but hopefully I'm doing that. And what are you doing when you're choosing a food for your dog or your cat? For my cat eats raw. She likes raw, and I buy a variety of raw for her, and I know that biologically cats thrive on raw. I also give her some canned food in it at night, overnight, because I don't like to leave stuff like that out. I leave a little bit of kibble for her, and she loves the kibble. That's fine. She likes it. And they both get freeze-dried meat treats. And I'm hoping that over the years, this will prove to work for them. Right now, it seems to work from the research I've done, from what makes sense common sense-wise, and from my own intuition, is I basically douse for food like for my animals like I do for myself. And there are manufacturers that I can walk into a store and run my hand down the row and go, okay, not that, and not that, and not that. Because there's something about it intuitively that doesn't connect with me, or because I wear my prejudices on my sleeve for certain brands, I don't know. But we're all doing the best we can, and the question is, how much information can we acquire over the course of time and still live our daily lives? And it's crazy out there, the amount of stuff I've had to learn in 20 years to keep my animals healthy. And the average person, we just don't have the time for that. So you need to follow those things. Find people, humans in stores, like independent pet stores, who have a variety of things that they can choose and not necessarily what corporate throws at them. Do your research online, find out what other people are doing, and find out what works specifically for your animals. And then listen to your intuition, right? As they're eating, pay attention to that. How does the energy of that food feel to you? How does it feel in them? And yes, you are all capable of doing that. We just haven't done that. So as you're looking at your animals, how does that food work for them? Do they thrive on it? You know, I was puzzled when I was feeding Ollie the raw diet, and he was loving it, right? But it was not working. So now what he's getting is a mixture of things, including canned, including a little kibble, including raw, including a home-cooked mixture. And he loves it, and he's thriving. That's what he needed. I think we're running into a break here, and we will be right back after the break to talk about energy healing our intuition in our animals.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about practical intuition in our animal families. Okay, so I know, I sound like a know-it-all. I wish I knew it all. I wish I really did. Like everyone else out there, I'm learning by trial and error. I'm learning from doing research. I'm learning to pay attention to what makes sense to me and what does not. And I'm learning to, you know, listen to what my animal family is saying and experiencing and adding that extra element of intuition to it. But a couple things come into play here, and that's the whole notion of energy and energy healing and the how energy itself relates to our experience. So back to the whole idea of rescue. There are in the United States and Canada, a lot of animals sitting in shelters. And if you read Ted Carasot's book, Pukka's Promise, P-U-K-K-A, Pukka is the name of his dog that replaced, the previous dog. But he went to a lot, he did a lot of research, years of research, and he had a whole team of research, and they did everything from vaccinations to food to breeding, blah, 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 and what they're doing in England and so on and so forth. And he has a lot to say about the health issues. So read that book and say, okay, I'm not sure I believe you, Robin, but I'll go read that book and think about it, because he has a lot of really great information out there. And what's his goal? The same goal as mine, that you have a healthy animal family member. But people tell me, and they're so satisfied that I rescued this dog. I am going to rescue it. And it's like a badge of honor. But I ask you to evaluate the energy behind that and the energy behind every decision you make for your animal family. Is the energy behind that that you're self-righteous, that we are self-righteous, that we feel the only answer is that somehow we wear this badge of honor because we've taken in an animal that needs a home? Or are you doing it because that's just fine by you? And that's all fine. But unless you're out there looking for your heart match, you need to evaluate how our egos get us involved in creating these ties that become our family members, and if that's helping or hurting us and our animal families. So I don't care where you go to get your animal. I'm just telling you to think about what it is behind the action of bringing that animal into your family and what the energy of that is. Is it supportive? Is it helpful to you and to them? Now, my animals have come to me in the form of Cavalier King Charles Spaniels and now as a Russian Blue Cat because I asked for that. Because those are the breeds that I wanted. And what happened as a result is the souls that wanted to come back to me jumped into those breeds and came home. And my mind gets boggled when I think about how that happened 30 some years ago when I didn't even know it was happening or how it happened when I went halfway across the country to live and somebody said, oh, you should probably get an English Cocker Spaniel and I bring home this dog that has reincarnated with me that I didn't even know that was even happening. So what is the energy behind your desire to bring in that animal family member? And make it opening and accepting. And as I said, look for your heart match wherever that is. And then make a choice that works for you and that animal based on your living circumstances, what you can live with and what that animal needs, because that's how you create a successful family with animals. Because hello, animal evolution is a lot slower than what's happened in our world in the last 150 years, and they really need a hand up in that proper training, how to live in society where, you know, they're not wolves in the wild anymore. How to live in society with us, how to live in our homes when they're different species. That takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of effort on your part as well as theirs. But then what other things do you add to that mix? Now, when Murphy, my first Cavalier, came along in 1998, and I started noticing her health issues, and I'm like, what? And noticing that they were an awful lot like mine, I was like totally freaked out. And there's a lot that I could say about that. Will take longer than the few minutes we have left on the show. But what I did do was research solutions for both of us, because there's no way I was going to put up with me being disabled and in pain all the time. And no way was I going to put up with it in her either. So that's where we added a lot of things. That's where I developed a medical team that didn't bat an eye when I started talking to volcanoes and cars along with animals, because these are people who are tuned into the real world that exists, and it's an intuitive world as well as a physical world, and are, you know, really open to what's out there. And that's where I discovered not just supplements, but chiropractic care and yoga and all of those things, including energy healing. And so when I work with and homeopathics, which there are people out there that say homeopathic medicine is quackery, I've seen it work. And Murphy, when we started her on chiropractic treatment, or I'm sorry, homeopathic treatment, really at the dosage that only a homeopathic veterinarian can prescribe, or a veterinarian who uses homeopathy, her gums changed color to what they should have been when she was born, because she was born with a depressed immune system made worse by vaccinations and what had happened to her before she came. And then that I listened to a vet and let her be accidentally over vaccinated on top of the blood disorder that she inherited. So homeopathics worked for her, and I totally support them and the people that practice homeopathy, because I find it valuable. And I know you have to be careful about everything, so be careful to work with really respected people out there who know what they're doing with these alternative remedies, in the same way that you would work with any medical professional who's an expert at what they do, which is how I chose my surgeon for my cataract surgeries this summer, who's really good at what they do, and how do I trust them. My animal family and I have also experienced acupuncture, and I have found it to be totally not working for us. I don't recommend it to people. I say to people, I know people who have used acupuncture and it has been very successful for them and their animals. It has not been successful for me or mine. Take that for an honest opinion and go research it on your own, because it has helped a lot of people. Physical therapy helps a lot of people too. Do people do it? I don't know. But energy medicine is really interesting. Energy healing has been with us since the dawn of time, and we are now institutionalizing it and creating systems that, like Reiki or natural force healing, and that is awesome. I have talked to people who have done really in-depth training on these various systems, and what they're doing is magical, because energy is magical. But it may not always be the answer for you and your animal family. So that's one of the things I want to leave you with today in thinking about what works for your animal families. I don't know, what am I called? I think a level three Reiki practitioner. So I studied Reiki with a Reiki master and whatever. I was curious about the structure of energy healing, and I happened to know the Reiki person who was teaching it, and I know she wasn't put off by how weird my intuitive life looks to a lot of people. So it was fine with her. And my animals hated Reiki. They just didn't want anything to do with it. My dog Alki would literally leap off the bed and run screaming into the other room. I was like, okay, this is weird. And Murphy was the dog I happened to be working with that night, and I could see she was resisting it. She did not want Reiki. So I'm like, okay, then what am I going to do? And so I thought, okay, have to be very careful about how you ask questions and how you ask for help from the universe, from from energy, from your spiritual team, whatever, because things can happen if you're not really very careful. So I phrased it as, is there an energy system in the universe that would work with my animal family, that would work with me, that would work with my home, not disrupt our environment or our physical, emotional, mind, body, spirit wellness, but work for them? And down it came from outer space, is the only thing I can think of, swirling like the structure of DNA. And as I watched, it swirled and went right into Murphy. Completely, she completely accepted it. She just physically went, ah, and just relaxed. And I'm like, oh, okay, what was that? And my spiritual team said, well, if you asked for it, you got it. This is energy. This is an ancient form of energy that has changed for our time as our planet is evolving into a multidimensional planet, so to speak. And use this energy to heal your family. And then when that is done, then take it out into the world. Well, I'm lazy. Okay, I admit it. I want everything to get done really fast. So I was like, okay, this worked. And now just give this energy away and let somebody else do it. But it kept coming back. And the truth of the matter is it's very capable. And so and sentient, and it knows what it's doing, and it is truly amazing. And on a large scale, it looks like magic, because in essence that is what magic is, right? A form of energy. And this energy is remarkable, and it's available for everyone to just ask for. This I call it alchemical energy, because my company's name is Alchemy West, and alchemical is a transformational process. But this energy is sentient, and all you need to do is invite it to work with you and your animal in whatever situation you're facing. So when Murphy was dying from cancer, and she said, this is fine, it's time for me to go, I want to experience the dying process, I very politely turned away the requests and the offers of Reiki and allowed the alchemical energy and Murphy to work together. And I worked with them. And up until 3 days before she died, despite what the medical profession said, she was healthy and hale and chasing her younger brother around the garage. And then 3 days before she died, that was it. And it caught up with her and it was fine. And they created this peaceful ending for her. And so I guess the point of this broadcast is to share with you that there's more going on in the world than we know, and that when we take other beings into our families, human or animal, we have a responsibility to protect them and guide them as family members, because like we're the adults, we drive the cars, we buy the groceries, we earn the money to pay for all of that. And they are trusting us with their welfare in a world that isn't natural to them as it is to us. And so we have a responsibility to keep doing the research. So keep doing the research on all those issues. The age at which you spay or neuter your animals, where you get them from, so that you're the one that makes the decisions for them and not somebody whose mindset is stuck in the past beyond the realities of where modern science tells you what is healthy. The food, the vaccinations, how you train them, how you get along with them, how you're out on the street with them. I am amazed lately at how many people have big dogs in the city of Seattle, let them run off leash, don't train them, and then threaten you with them. It's like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is healthy families where we're all respectful of each other and we all learn and grow together. So if there's something about your animal family that you would like to share with me, for me to share here with a larger audience, please do so, because we are all learning and growing together. Every day I learn something new about taking care of my animal family and myself. And I think that's great, because if we stop growing, we stop learning, and that's not going to help any of us. So coming up next week, we're bringing on a guest who's got a book on the art of working with crystals. which will be really interesting because I know it's different than mine. So we'll have a very exciting and fun conversation. And we have other shows coming up, a show on creativity and writing and how to tap that thing. So for now, cross your hands over your heart and just let that energy of the universe flood your body, express itself in your family with your animals, because that's where we are, right? In the place where we can learn up with our animal families, where we can grow in love and connection with them through the good times and the bad times, through turning our backs for 1 second and realizing we've just lost our beloved dog, as my friend did last week, and knowing that they had great lives with us. Take care, and we will see you next week.